think, brother?
All right, good evening. Ecclesiastes, chapter 8. Ecclesiastes 8. Pray for Yvette. Got up on a stack of bricks to pull some vines off the chicken coop and twisted her ankle, so pray for her. She had, couldn't put any weight on it, so pray about that. Pray for Ray Lynn. Got her second shot, and she's just doesn't feel well. So pray for these dear saints. Excuse me. All right. We'll go ahead and read the text. We'll read 11 to 14. We'll have a short review of verse 11, and then we'll look at verses 12 through 14. Solomon writes, verse 11, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Verse 12, though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. There is a vanity, Solomon says, which is done upon the earth, that there be just men, or righteous men, unto whom it happeneth according to the work of the wicked. Again, there be wicked men, to whom it happeneth according to the work of the righteous. I said that this also is vanity. Let's pray. Lord, we come into your holy presence, and Father, we bow, and I pray in humility. I pray that we would always come before you, humbling ourselves before you greatly, knowing that you are our God, you're our Father, and we are the sheep of your hand, the sheep of your pasture. Father, you've prepared a table for us in the world here in the presence of our enemies. You've given us green pasture. You've given us your word. You've given us the earnest, the guarantee of our inheritance, the Spirit of God in our hearts. I pray now, O God, that you would speak to us. Father, we never want to gather together without your presence, and so we pray for it now. Forgive us for our sins, as 1 John says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Help us, Father, this night. We thank you so much for the cross of Christ and for the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, his death on the cross for our sins. Thank you, Lord. Speak to us tonight. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Now, we talked about the different, there's a couple of different senses of this verse. The hearts of the sons of men, that is the wicked, are fully set in them to do evil because sentence is not executed speedily. Now, you can certainly see in our day that the wicked do not fear punishment. You can see that in our society. If they did, we might see wickedness curbed in our society. More respect for the laws. But it's getting worse and worse. Psalm 10, turn back to Psalm 10. Let me just read you this. Psalm 10, verse 3. The book of the Psalms. Psalm 10, verse 3. Actually, verse 4. We could read verse 3, but verse 4, I think, was a better starting place. The psalmist here says, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. He sitteth in the lurking places of the villages, in the secret places doth he murder the innocent. His eyes are privily or secretly set against the poor. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth him into his net. He croucheth, that is to attack, and humbleth himself, that the poor may fall by his strong ones. He has said in his heart, and this is what the wicked say in their heart towards the long-suffering of God, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it. That is, he will never see my sins. I won't be judged. In fact, Psalm 14, Psalm 53, the Bible teaches the fool has said in his heart, if you take the italicized words out, the fool has said in his heart, no God. Psalm 53, Psalm 14, verbatim. The fear has said in his, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And so, beloved, we live in a land, in regard to sentence not being executed speedily, we live in a land where sin and immorality has been redefined as not wrong behavior. Sin and immorality has been defined now, redefined as normal human behavior. Wickedness has become lawful, even protected behavior. Hence, the wicked continue to embolden themselves in their wickedness. Hence our verse, the hearts of the sons of men are fully set in them to do evil. Now, in regard to the spiritual sense of this verse, thank the Lord he has not executed sentence speedily against us. Thank the Lord for a stay of execution. Thank the Lord that he is patient and long-suffering with us. And he was when we were dead in our trespasses and sins. And that he didn't execute sentence against us immediately when we sinned against him, but gave us time and space to repent. God gave us that. If God would have executed sentence speedily against sinners, if he'd have executed his sentence speedily against Adam and Eve, our first parents, he'd have wiped the whole human race off the face of the planet. But he did not do that. And so we come to verse 12. Now, I want to separate verses 12a and verses 13 from verse 12b, because 12, the beginning of 12 and the complete part of 13 speaks of the wicked, and verse 12b speaks of the righteous. So notice verse 12a, though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged. Okay, you got that? A sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged. It's really connected with the previous verse. Verse 13, but it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. Now we will deal with the wicked first. If there was a title to this message, it would be, it is going to be well with the righteous, and it's not going to be well with the wicked. You see that in the text. But beloved, listen to this. Listen now, and never forget this. Whatever you see in the world, and I'm going to show you some biblical examples in a moment, whatever you see in the world, it shall not go well with the wicked. I don't care how good they're doing and how prosperous they look like they're doing. You will see sinners in the world prospering, faring sumptuously every day, living long lives, not absolutely, but relatively, you'll see this. All the while they're going on gliding through their lives, sinning against God with impunity, without any punishment against them, no punishment for their wickedness. But listen, when you see that, don't envy and be jealous of what they have in their lives. Just remember how long you and I lived in the world as an unpunished sinner. When you sinned against God with impunity. When I sinned against God with impunity. Remember what we learned last week in verse 11 about the patience and long-suffering of God, His goodness. I lived for 26 years, first 26 years of my life. I sinned with impunity. I didn't care about God. I even had people witness to me about Christ, and I gave them the hand. It's amazing to me that God had mercy upon my soul. I don't deserve it. Still don't. But God was gracious to me, and I'm so thankful for that. In Psalms 37 and Psalm 73, we find two psalmists, Asaph and David. Actually, David first in Psalm 37, Asaph in Psalm 73. We find both fretting because of the wicked, envying the wicked because they so often seem to go through life without any difficulties, prospering and living long lives. And here we are serving God with lives full of trials, afflictions, and difficulties. Now look at it. Go to Psalm 37. Actually, let me read you Ecclesiastes 7:15 first. Go there. Ecclesiastes 7:15. Goes along with our text. But Ecclesiastes 7:15. Notice, Solomon says, "All things have I seen in the days of my vanity. There is a just man that perisheth in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man that prolongeth his life in wickedness." And in our last verse of our text, it talks about there be just men unto whom it happeneth according to the work of the wicked, and there be wicked men to whom it happeneth according to the work of the righteous. Solomon said this also is vanity. Now go to Psalm 37. Psalm 37 and verse 1. Psalm 37, verse 1. So keep this in mind, beloved, from the text. It shall not be well with the wicked. Remember the rich wicked man in Luke 16? Some of the old Puritan writers called him Dives. That's what they called his name. The scriptures don't say that. But it was the rich man and Lazarus. We know about them. Remember that the rich man died, and he immediately lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torments. And what did Father Abraham tell him? He said, "In thy lifetime receivest thy good things. You fared sumptuously every day, not Lazarus, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented." And so, beloved, consider the psalm. Now, when you read the psalms, remember that the psalmist is very honest. And the psalmist here, who I believe is David, is telling us, notice verse 1, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass." So listen, we look out and see the wicked prospering. We see them not being judged. We see sentence not being executed against them. And let's just be honest. We're looking and we're saying, why are they living so easily? And why are we having such problems, trials in our lives as Christians? He says, they shall soon be cut down. Look at verse 8. "Cease from anger," the psalmist says, "and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be." Even if his days are prolonged in the earth, this is the only heaven that he's going to experience. The wicked will not go to the true heaven. Listen, the wicked are getting their best life now. Like Joel Osteen says, your best life now, beloved, your best life is not now, it's in eternity. And so, we see that the psalmist says, a little while. So never look at the wicked and be envious at them or think, why don't they go through anything? Beloved, God is forming and fashioning you for heaven. Listen, the Lord trieth the righteous. And so, beloved, you're like a piece of gold. God saved you. You're one of His precious gems, but you got dross. And the refining fires are making you shinier and shinier. And God's purging the dross out of your life. And that's what those trials are for. Look at verse 12, same song. The wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out their sword and bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. Verse 17, the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. Verse 20, but the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke, shall they consume away. Verse 35 and 36. I have seen the wicked, saith the psalmist, in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree, yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. So when you see the wicked prolonging their days, and you see them prospering, stop walking by sight. Do you see what's waiting the wicked? We shouldn't look at them and envy them. We shouldn't look at them and get angry at them because they got a better lot perhaps here on earth than we do. We should look on them with pity and compassion. We should look upon them and be faithful witnesses for Christ toward them. Because once upon a time, I was a wicked man going on in my wickedness. And I was just gliding on through life like everything was okay. Until God arrested me and saved me from my sins. And so, beloved, it shall not be well with the wicked. Now turn to Psalm 73. Psalm 73. Here the psalmist is now in a place of, he's in a low place when, as you read the psalm, he says, this is Asaph, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, have you ever been here? Now listen, as you read this, remember that you are the psalmist. Remember when you read the Word of God, these are normal Christian people just like us. And they write of things that happen in us too. Notice what he says. God's good to Israel. He says, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Nothing happens to them, and they shake their fists at God. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily, with arrogance that is. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know, and is there knowledge in the Most High? Verse 12, behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Now, turn over to the Proverbs. So we see what the end of the wicked will be in Psalm 37. And then we see the psalmist in Psalm 73 who got attached to looking at them. And he's going, what's going on, Lord? Why are there no pains in their lives? There's no troubles. They just glide on through life and they shake their fist at you, Lord. Proverbs 13:21. If you're not there, just listen. Evil pursueth sinners. I don't care how prosperous they are here. Proverbs 24:19. Remember our text. It shall not go well with the wicked. It may look like it's going well now, but it shall not go well with the wicked. Proverbs 24:19. Fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at wicked men. Isaiah 3:11. The book of Isaiah, chapter 3 and verse 11. And then we'll go to the book of Romans for our final reference. Isaiah 3:11 says, "Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him. For the reward of his hands shall be given him." Beloved, always remember that. And listen, we should never have the spirit of anger, of jealousy, of hatred toward them. But beloved, as our Lord Jesus Christ was, you can go to Romans 9, we ought to be friends to sinners, all types. Romans chapter 9 and verse 22. Romans 9 and verse 22. Notice Paul here talks about his wrath on the vessels of wrath. Notice it says they're fitted to destruction. He says, what if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, and this is what he's doing now, he endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. Just remember that when you see the wicked going on in their wickedness. Now, you don't know that the wicked ones that you see are, in fact, vessels of wrath. The Bible tells us that we were children of wrath before God saved us. Ephesians 2 says that. He says, verse 23, "And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us whom he hath called, not of Jews only, but also of Gentiles." So God endures with much long suffering the vessels of wrath, so he might have mercy on vessels of mercy. So God is long suffering and patient. So listen, beloved, the days, the time of the wicked, though they seem prolonged, their days are like a shadow, Solomon says. Job 20, Job says, "The triumphing of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite is but for a moment." And so don't focus on, as you read in Ecclesiastes, and we read what the Koheleth, the preacher, says here. We see this in the world. Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely, Solomon says, I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him, but it shall not be well with the wicked. Neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. Now, the good news. Verse 12b. Solomon says, "Yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before me." Listen, if you are a born-again Christian tonight and you've turned from your sins to Christ, it doesn't matter what's happening in your life here in trials and difficulties. It shall be well with you. The song we sing, and Solomon teaches this, in God's time, everything will be beautiful. In his time, in the lives of his saints. Remember the life of Job, how very difficult it was? Long time, I don't know how long his trial was, but he lost all of his children, lost everything, lost his health, was full of blisters and boils. But chapter 42 says the latter end of Job was better. And he had twice as much as he had before, maybe even more than that. Saw his grandchildren to the fourth generation. Joseph, how could it be much worse? Your own brothers sell you into captivity? For 17 years, Joseph went from prison to being a slave, Potiphar's house, falsely accused. Started out being hated by his own brothers, cast into a pit. But what was the latter end of Joseph? He was exalted to be the second man under Pharaoh in Egypt. So, surely I know. I love what Solomon says. Yet, the wicked may look like they prolong their lives. They may live long lives here. And many of them do. Yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before Him. Now go back to Psalm 37, because if you notice, we read that psalm in fragments. Mm-hmm. Well, now we're going to put the other pieces of the puzzle together, and we'll set our sights heavenward like they should be. And we'll start in verse 3 to 7. After the psalmist David says, don't fret because of the evil, the wicked ones, they'll soon be cut down. Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He goes on to say, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, and because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Did you see that? Trust in the Lord. Delight thyself in the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Beloved, this needs to be our mantra. Look again, Psalm 37, verse 11. He says, but the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Verse 16. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He, that is God, is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil, and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. Psalm 73, verse 12. The psalmist comes to himself. Asaph, in this psalm, comes to himself. In verse 13, of course, the psalmist says, behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verse 13, he says, verily I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. It's like he's saying, have I cleansed myself in vain? Then he says, in verse 14, for all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. Then he says, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. Whose end? The end of the wicked. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down unto destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. Wow. And then go back to Isaiah 3. We'll read verse 10. We read verse 11. Isaiah 3:10. It shall not go well with the wicked. It shall be well with the righteous. Verse 10, chapter 3, Isaiah. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with them. For they shall eat the fruit of their doings. It shall be well with the righteous. But woe unto the wicked, it shall go ill with them. So listen, beloved, we must always keep our sights heavenward. And by sights heavenward, I mean we, the professed people of God, we, the professed people of God, are to be a people of faith in Christ. And if we are a people of faith in Christ, we don't concentrate on the things that are happening in this life. We don't get entangled with the affairs of this life. As Timothy said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, we don't get all wrapped around the axle with what's happening in the world. We set our affection on things above. Amen. And how do you do that? Beloved, we have to stay in the Word. We have to stay in the Word, beloved. It stands to reason, if we are people of faith, that our lives ought to be characterized by walking by faith in Christ and in His holy Word, not being envious of the jealous or of the wicked in their prosperity and seeing how long they live their lives. Listen, many of us know much of what is written in the Holy Scriptures. Many of us, if you go out and talk to the average person on the streets, you know very much of what's written in the Scriptures. You could quote it to them. You could tell them about Christ. You could tell them about the promises of God. But what concerns me about me, and I pray that you would consider this, but how much do we know? And yet, when the trials come, we don't believe it. How much do we understand? And yet, when things get difficult, we don't believe what we know. I don't want to just know the Word of God. I don't want to just know the Scriptures. I want to know God. I want to believe God. And that word believe is synonymous with trust. Believe, faith in, trust. And so, beloved, we need to be a people of faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. When we get fixed on things down here, and Solomon said, you'll see the wicked prolonging their lives in this world. This also is vanity. And in a second, and we're finishing up here, he says things are going to kind of look upside down to you. When you see the wicked seemingly being rewarded as if they're righteous, and the righteous actually looking as if they're being rewarded as if they're wicked. I mean, you see that. But listen, these psalmists, Psalm 37, 73, they knew these things about the wicked, but found themselves, at least in Psalm 73, cast down because he was looking by sight at the prosperity of the wicked instead of by faith toward God and his promises. I still remember Brother Peter Masters, he preaches in England. He said that about that promise of Hebrews 13:5. Sometimes you hear things and they stick in your heart like a barbed arrow. Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may say, God is my helper. I will not fear what man will do unto me. Peter Masters says, how many of us know this? We could recite it, but we don't believe it. And when things come down in our lives, wait a minute, isn't God your helper? Why don't you believe that promise? And listen, that's how we need to be, beloved, if we're a people of faith. Psalm 115, just listen, he will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. This is what awaits you, child of God. Think about this. Think about what awaits you, and think about what awaits the wicked. Because listen, when you come into your trial, and you come into a difficult time, you need to look by faith through that and set your affection on things above. In Matthew 25, and just listen to me, you don't have to turn there. It says in verse 34, when the Lord returns, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That's what awaits you, child of God. What awaits the wicked? Verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on his left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And so, beloved, it's not going to go well with the wicked. We don't desire that for them. We pray that God would save them, that they would believe the gospel. We witness to them. We preach the gospel to them, because such were all of us. We were all lost and dead in our sins. And so, beloved, he will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. Remember that. Now, finally, verse 14, and we'll finish. Let's read verse 14 of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 8:14. He finishes this thought by saying, there is a vanity which is done upon the earth, that there be just or righteous men unto whom it happeneth according to the work of the wicked. In other words, it seems like they're being rewarded for their wickedness in this life. And again, there be wicked men to whom it happeneth according to the work of the righteous. I said this also is vanity. Now, a few biblical examples for you. We just mentioned them. Think about Job, all that happened to him. Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, his three friends, all they did the whole time was what? They said, you must have did something really bad for this to happen to you. You sinned against God. That's why this is happening to you. When in fact, it wasn't the case at all. Job had his problems as time went on, and he justified himself, but Job was not a wicked man. Job was a righteous man. He feared God and eschewed evil. He was a believer in God. He had great faith in the Lord. But if you look at his life and these three men, they got it wrong. Think of Joseph. We just mentioned that. Think of Lazarus. All the days of his life, laid at the rich man's gate, full of sores. Think of Asaph in Psalm 73. He says, have I cleansed my heart in vain? Have I washed my hands in innocency? It's as if he's saying, am I following God for naught? Remember, that was the devil's challenge to God. Remember that, right? Will Job serve you for his zilch? He said, Job serves you because you've got a hedge around him. And this is what God may do to you sometimes, beloved. Remember this. What did God do to Job? He moved the hedge. He let Satan at him. On a limited basis. But listen, Satan is God's dog. And God will not allow him to do more than is God's will. And God will use Satan in your life to strengthen you. Sure. To strengthen you. Satan's not going to get that victory. So, beloved, we look at these righteous men, and it looks like they were being treated as if they were wicked. And then there are the wicked, and we saw them in Psalm 73, Psalm 37. And it looks like they're the blessed. Don't look at it. They're not. They're not. Listen, beloved, the judge of all the earth is going to do right. Both in the lives of the righteous, in your life, and in the lives of the wicked. Therefore, whatever God has assigned to you in your life, remember that this is not your heaven. This is not your best life now. Heaven in the presence of Christ is. And so never forget this. We'll close. Go back to Ecclesiastes 3:17. And we'll close with this passage. Ecclesiastes 3:17, I said in mine heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked. For there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. So don't forget, beloved, Though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. Amen. And let's dismiss in prayer. Lord, we ask that you would take this good seed of the word. Father, I pray that you would firmly implant it in our hearts, O God. Help us to think upon these things. Help us, O God, to be a people of faith. Help us, Father, to never concentrate on the prolonging lives of the wicked or the prolonging of their lives. Father, their prosperity. But Father, may we ever know that it shall go well with the righteous. And Father, we are extremely blessed. Help us to have eyes of faith, O God. Help us to walk by faith and not by sight. Help us to see, O God, that Father, everything that you assign to us in this life, every trial, every difficulty, Father, is for our good. You said all things work together for good, not to the evil, but for the good, for them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And so help us, Lord. Help us as your people. Help us, Father, with grace and strength. And at the end of the day, Father, we want to bring glory and honor to your name in our lives. We want Christ to be exalted, O Lord.